Good afternoon, 4:30 and 57 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
That includes resurfacing the track completely, and then we're going to build a jump pit, and a high jump pit, and a long jump pit.
Rowan County School Superintendent Marvin Moore says those are among the improvements that could be made soon to the high school athletic complex. A federal judge says Rowan County Clerk Kim Davis does not have to pay $233,000 in legal fees, and a Senate committee has approved the creation of a Kentucky Coal Endowment Fund to help the eastern region recover from the slump in the coal industry. In sports, Elliott County and West Carter battle tonight for the 16th Region Boys High School basketball title. Bud Luke has the Stocks. Showers likely this evening. Low around 39. We'll have a full check of the forecast after this news. A federal judge has ruled that Rowan County Clerk Kim Davis does not have to pay legal fees for the couples who sued her in 2015. U.S. Magistrate Edward Atkins signed an order Monday that says because the issue was resolved in the legislature, the plaintiffs were not prevailing parties and therefore not entitled to legal fees. Attorneys for same-sex couples sued Davis 2 years ago after she refused to issue marriage licenses to them. They asked for $233,000 in damages. In April 2016, Governor Matt Bevin signed into law a bill that removed county clerks' names and authorizations from state marriage licenses. According to WSAZ, two people have been arrested on charges that they were making methamphetamine in a Martin County motel room. Martin deputies say both are held in the Big Sandy Regional Detention Center. Charged are 24-year-old Alexis Williams of Piketon, Ohio, and 39-year-old Nicholas Ward of Inez. Police say the arrests took place Monday night at the Inez Motel. Ward is also charged with possession of drug paraphernalia. Rowan Judge Executive Walter Blevin says the county was able to avoid damage to public property during last week's storms that blew through eastern Kentucky. Those storms included powerful straight-line winds, which created thousands of dollars in damage in other parts of the region. After they left the area, Blevin said he had some county workers go out and check on things.
Our road crews, I think we had five different crews out just cutting down trees that had fallen over in the roads, that kind of damage, but no major damage. Just you have to remove the trees and cut them up, get them out of the way. And I know we did a lot of those, but luckily no major injuries and no major damage, you'd call.
Blevin says the damage in Rowan County caused by the storms was generally limited to private property. He notes that two barns were knocked down, a mobile home was blown over, and a couple of homes lost their roofs. The Rowan County School District is a step closer to making some improvements to the high school's athletic complex. The Rowan Board of Education Monday accepted a bid of nearly $1.1 million from Walker Construction for the work, which will include putting artificial turf on the football field, resurfacing the running track, and building two jumping pits. Superintendent Marvin Moore says the next move is to get the final okay for the project from the Kentucky Department of Education.
Since this is local dollars that we'll be using for this project, we feel like the KDE will sign off fairly quickly on this project, and we're hoping to get it within a week, maybe 2 week turnaround time. We're hoping by the end of the month to be breaking ground out there for this project.
Moore believes if all goes as planned, work on the project should start by the end of the month and will be finished by mid-August. In addition to school events, Moore says the refurbished complex will be made available for community events. According to the head of the Rowan campus of Maysville Community and Technical College, the work on his school's new facility is ahead of schedule. Russ Ward says the building is completely under roof and enclosed. Crews are now working inside, hanging drywall and installing flooring. Ward calls the progress being made on the 90,000 square foot structure exciting. He notes that it will eventually house MCTC Rouen's new Center for Advanced Manufacturing, which will offer programs in computerized manufacturing and robotics.
There's actually an area within this that if you're working on an assembly line and something breaks down, we'll be able to train those people to go in and identify that problem and work on that and get that fixed. You know, the last thing a company wants to do is have their a line go down or machines go down. So we'll be training those folks in there to identify those issues very quickly, very rapidly, and get those fixed.
Ward expects MCTC Rouen to begin moving into the $28 million building by the end of the year or early in 2018. A major school reform bill today cleared the House Education Committee. The measure is sponsored by Republican State Senator Mike Wilson. He says it's intended to put more control for primary and secondary education in local hands and reduce some of the assessment and reporting requirements for teachers and administrators. Republican State Representative Steve Riley says that's a great idea.
Too often we've had teachers that have been teaching the test. If the test lines up with the standards, every day they'll be teaching to the test because they'll be teaching to the standards. So I think that's a very important part of this bill. As a former a high school principal, eliminating program reviews, that's a great thing to do. I know that was a very burdensome issue for our teachers.
Senator Wilson says there are also new standards for preparing students for work or post-secondary education.
Post-secondary readiness, formerly called college and career readiness, 67%. Are we happy with that? No. We want them all to be post-secondary ready, college and career ready. It's measurable now by credentials rather than an assortment of additional tests. They'll be accountable for increasing their percentages of students graduating.
Wilson says some of the new standards will include the number of hours students spend in apprenticeships and the achievement of licenses or certifications in high-demand professions. Louisville and Lexington's senators are bracing for a fight over House Bill 151, known as the Neighborhood Schools Bill, which cleared the House last week. Senator Gerald Neal cautioned the majority in the Republican-controlled chamber.
When you have the power to do something, that doesn't mean it's wise to do it.
The NAACP says national organizations have become aware of the bill and are lending support to JCPS and the opponents of the measure. The bill must clear the Senate Education Committee to get to the Senate floor. The Senate Appropriations and Revenue Committee has approved a bill calling for the issuance of $10.5 million in bonds for construction of a 90-bed veterans nursing home in Bowling Green. Norman Arflock is commissioner of the Kentucky Department of Veterans Affairs. He says the South Central Kentucky location was chosen over another site in Magoffin County because of a needs assessment study by the Veterans Administration.
It's about the number of veterans who happen to be there. And again, unfortunately, in our business, we see veterans passing every day. And as that number declines, we see, and the reason they see the influx is because of the Fort Campbell area at the Bowling Green, South Central Kentucky area. They see a growing population. They predict a growing population there based on the numbers provided by the federal VA.
Arflack testified today before the panel. The bill now heads to the Senate floor. It has already been approved by the House of Representatives. The Senate Appropriations and Revenue Committee also today approved a bill that establishes the Kentucky Coalfields Endowment Fund and calls for an annual appropriation to the fund of $7.5 million. The measure is sponsored by State Senator Brandon Smith of Hazard.
This bill was put together to try to bring some sort of stability to the coal regions of Kentucky where it's been up and down and coal sales are diminishing. Honestly, if this had been put in play years ago, they would have a tremendous trust right now that would allow these counties to be able to offset the losses they're seeing right now due to out-migration and loss of jobs and loss of revenue.
Smith calls the legislation a smart step to help the beleaguered coal-dependent economy in eastern Kentucky. Senator Mitch McConnell says a letter he received from a Rouen County resident underscores the need to replace the Affordable Care Act. The Kentucky Republican read part of that letter on the Senate floor Monday.
Take this Kentuckian from Moorhead who wrote my office earlier this year. Prior to Obamacare, he says, I had a manageable monthly health care premium that had enough coverage for myself with a reasonable deductible. Since Obamacare has been enforced, or should I say forced upon the American people, my premiums have increased each year significantly.
McConnell says the Moorhead man wrote that he's facing a 300% increase in his insurance premium this year. The senator claims that experience is typical in Kentucky since passage of the ACA. State officials say the transition from Connect to the federal health care exchange has been a success. Will Clark has the numbers.
With the close of the open enrollment period, the Cabinet for Health and Family Services says 81,155 people have enrolled in plans on healthcare.gov. Prior to the open enrollment, 82,681 people had plans through Connect. The Cabinet expects to save over $10 million a year once the transition is fully complete. The switch to healthcare.gov was a key part of the feud between former Governor Beshear, the creator of Connect, and Governor Bevin. I'm Will Clark.
The Moorhead Inspiration Center has plans for how it will use a grant from Kentucky's Department for Local Government. Spokeswoman Erica Walker says the $220,000 grant will be used to cover operational expenses, which includes paying staff and funding daily maintenance fees. Walker calls the work the center does not only important, but rewarding.
I see men come in here on a daily basis who are absolutely broken, defeated, who have lost many of the relationships and support systems in their life through actions they've taken because of addiction, to completely change all of that. And just a lot comes on in them. And a lot of these men now work in our centers. A lot of them are graduating college and just really pursuing their dreams and goals successfully.
The center is an addiction recovery center that can house about 100 men. Its residents go through a four-phase, 12-step program in order to rebuild their lives. The Inspiration Center is located on U.S. 60 West. The Agriculture Committee in the Kentucky Senate today approved legislation that could impose additional financial penalties against horse owners convicted of animal cruelty. The bill's sponsor is State Representative David Osborne. The Prospect Republicans measure is a response to recent incidents in Kentucky in which horses have been abandoned.
It does not attempt to establish any new class of abuse, only applies to horses, and what it does is it basically gives legal officials an additional tool to handle these situations as far as restitution and disposition of assets go.
Under Osborne's bill, horse owners could be ordered to pay restitution for shelter, veterinary care, and food while their animals are kept in temporary custody. Judges would also be authorized to more quickly sever ownership rights in alleged abuse cases. And finally, this afternoon, more wild weather is on the way for northeastern Kentucky. While temperatures have been unseasonably warm in recent days, Saturday we'll see a high of 33 with a low of 22 and a chance of snow. Dustin Jordan is a forecaster for the National Weather Service office in Jackson. He says such extreme swings in the weather are not really abnormal for this time of year.
Not really that unusual to see these kind of, some of these systems will actually be stronger too because during the transition seasons, in terms of the atmosphere, is a little more dynamic going on. So this is just a transition season.
Temperatures in the area are expected to climb back into the 50s early next week and then back into the 60s by Thursday. And here is the weather forecast for the MSPR listing area, including the counties of Magoffin, Morgan, and Mason. Tonight, showers likely, mainly before 10 p.m., cloudy during the early evening, then gradual clearing with a low around 39. The chance of precipitation is 60%. New precipitation amounts of less than a tenth of an inch are possible. Wednesday, sunny with a high near 60, breezy with wind gusts as high as 26 miles per hour. Wednesday night, mostly clear with a low around 35. Thursday, sunny, a high near 66. And then Thursday evening, look for showers, mainly after 3 a.m. Increasing clouds with a low around 40. The chance of precipitation on Thursday evening is 70%. Around the region, it is 57 degrees in Ashland, 57 in Flemingsburg, 57 in Lexington. It is 55 at Inez, 56 in Winchester, and on the campus of Morehead State University, it is 57 degrees. 446, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. It's great to have you along on this Tuesday afternoon. On our feature segment, solar power advocates say a legislative proposal would stifle solar in the Bluegrass State, killing jobs and costing those who have installed rooftop systems. The Kentucky News Connection's Greg Stottlemyre reports.
Backlash from solar users and advocates has slowed a proposal in the Kentucky Senate to change the rules on net metering, the way utilities and consumers with rooftop solar trade energy. The power companies want to pay a lower rate for the excess power they buy from solar households than they charge those households as electric customers. Jeremy Coxon founded Sunwind Power Systems, installing residential solar systems in the greater Louisville area for 12 years. He thinks utility companies are trying to maintain their monopolies and says without net metering, it would take a homeowner a lot longer to pay off their solar investment.
It makes it really difficult to financially justify a solar array when your competition essentially gets to set the value of your goods. That's fundamentally un-American.
Kentucky's electric cooperatives, on the other hand, say the legislation is needed to plan responsibly for future energy needs. The 26 co-ops claim their non-solar members shouldn't be forced to subsidize people who want to use solar power. But supporters of net metering say the cost is minuscule. Sustainable energy consultant Andy McDonald says he crunched cost data shared by KU and LG&E, which provide power to nearly a million customers.
They're claiming that this is shifted onto all other ratepayers, but at most, it's like 5 millionths of a cent per kilowatt hour that's being shifted. I mean, it's an infinitesimal amount of money.
Coxon agrees and says the power companies failed to weigh the positives, like solar's contribution to the power grid during times of peak demand. He thinks Senate Bill 214 would stifle growth in Kentucky's renewable industry, which already lags far behind many states.
Only the costs are being looked at, none of the benefits for going solar. And it's not just environmental costs. I'm talking about job creation.
Coxon notes his company employs iron and steel workers, electricians, crane operators, and truck drivers, and does business with more than 100 vendors. The solar movement managed to delay a vote on the bill in a Senate committee last week and are hoping it's dead for this legislative session. I'm Greg Stottlemyre reporting for Kentucky News Connection.
449, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. All Things Considered from NPR is coming up at 5 o'clock this afternoon on Morehead State Public Radio, and Braxton has sports, and he's up right now.
Good afternoon with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. Elliott County bids for its third straight 16th Region Boys basketball title tonight at 7 as the Lions take on West Carter at Morehead's Johnson Arena. Elliott moved into the championship game last night with a 4-point overtime win against Boyd County. Coach Greg Atkins says his 25-3 team will need to tweak part of its game as it gets set to face West Carter.
Hopefully we can tighten up our defense a little bit. You know, we can make it tougher on the posts that we have to play. But other than that, I can't fault our kids one bit. They found a way to get the job done.
Coming off of a triple overtime victory last night over Round County, Coach Jeremy Webb's 26-6 West Carter Comets are gearing up to face their longtime 62nd district rival.
We obviously know them very well. This makes the fifth time we will have played them this year, and you know, both teams are going to be fatigued. It's just going to, you know, come down to who's going to grind one out.
In the four previous games this season with Elliott, all close ones, West went 1-3. The Lions beat the Comets 64-61 in the recent 62nd district championship game. The girls' Sweet 16 starts tomorrow up at BB&T Arena at Northern Kentucky University. 16th region champion Boyd County faces Mercer County at 6:30. Despite all the media attention and hoopla surrounding the state finals, Coach Pete Fraley isn't worried about how his Lady Lions will handle that situation.
Oh, I think they'll be fine. A lot of them play AAU ball, and we played a really tough schedule this year, so I don't think they're going to back down from the bright lights or anything.
10th region champ Clark County plays Harlan tomorrow at 8 p.m. GRC head coach Robbie Graham says his team's defense will be key to a victory over 28-3 Harlan.
We know they have a really good guard. They should average about 25 a game. We know they want to play kind of up-tempo game, and they want to push and shoot a lot of three. So we have to play very disciplined defense and stay in position and be ready to help on drill penetration and close out hard on the shooters and make them shoot tough shots and not give them any easy baskets.
15th region winner Paintsville has its first-round game Thursday against Simon Kenton at 6:30. After looking at over 100 resumes for the job, the search committee charged with naming Morehead State's next men's basketball coach is starting interviews. Athletic Director Brian Hutchinson says the talks with the remaining candidates will be done in two phases.
The off-site interview will be a larger number than what the on-campus interviews would be. I suspect that the off-site interviews would be anywhere from 7 to 10, and then probably no more than 2 to campus. If it's 3, it's 3, but I would hope that we're not bringing any more than 2.
A new Eagles basketball coach could be named by sometime next week. Preston Spradlin, who is up for the post, has been MSU's interim coach since the resignation of Sean Woods in early December. Several members of the Kentucky basketball team were given all-conference honors today by the SEC. MSPR's Nathan Gutierrez reports.
Malik Monk was named SEC Freshman of the Year. He is the 8th Wildcat to win the award in the program's history, the 7th in the last 8 seasons. Monk and freshman guard De'Aaron Fox were both named first team All-SEC, while freshman big man Bam Adebayo was named to the second team. South Carolina's Sendarius Thornwell was named SEC Player of the Year, while Florida head coach Mike White was named Coach of the Year in the conference. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Nathan Gutierrez.
The Morehead State baseball team is scheduled to take on Youngstown State today at Allen Field. Because of weather, game time has been pushed back to 7 p.m., but as of now, will still be played. MSU goes into the game at 7-5 for the young season. Coach Mike McGuire says his team's offense has been sputtering a bit so far, but he expects that to improve with time.
The guys that, maybe we expected to be playing every day that are scuffling a little bit, they're proven over their career, and, they're going to continue to get some opportunities and get it going, but I'm pleased with the depth we have, and we're showing a little bit of that.
The Baseball Eagles are slated to entertain Youngstown again tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock. After his team had what he calls a good winter, Kentucky football coach Mark Stoops now has his Wildcats into their spring practices. Day one was Sunday. Stoops says one of the keys for him over the next few weeks is to get starting quarterback Steven Johnson to do a better job of protecting the football.
When he can. Quarterbacks are, you can't have them play scared. Sometimes, a tip pass and interception, some of that's inevitable. You don't want them playing real tight, but some of it, you have to have some football IQ and tuck the ball and put it away when you can. And that goes for him and it goes for all of our players.
While passing for 2,037 yards and 13 touchdowns last season, Johnson was also intercepted 6 times and lost a handful of fumbles. And finally, in sports, several Western Kentucky University football players are reportedly under investigation for an attack on a fraternity house. Paul Miles reports.
TMZ is reporting at least 4 members of the Hilltopper football team are involved in the investigation over the March 5th incident. According to a police report obtained by TMZ, members of the Pi Kappa Alpha fraternity were attacked by the football players and one ended up in the emergency room. Police say one of the victims claimed the suspects were carrying guns. There have been no arrests. I'm Paul Miles.
That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
4:54, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. And support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics online at msueagles.com. Eagle Baseball is supposed to host Youngstown State at 3 o'clock tomorrow. Eagle Softball welcomes East Tennessee State for 2 games tomorrow afternoon at 2 and 4 p.m. Tickets and more information from the Eagle Ticket Office, 783-2386, or online at MSUEagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities closed lower as investors bulled over the prospects of tighter monetary policy from the Federal Reserve and the House Republicans' legislation to repeal and replace Obamacare. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 29.58 at 20,924.76. The S&P 500 was down 6.92. at 2368.39, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 15.25, finishing at 5833.93. New York Stock Exchange breadth was roughly 2-1 in favor of losers over winners, and these indices actually now have recorded back-to-back losing days, and this is the first time this has happened since January. The iShares NASDAQ Biotechnology ETF was under pressure today after President Donald Trump tweeted he was working on a, quote, new system where there will be competition in the drug industry. And the NASDAQ Biotechnology ETF was down more than 1% in today's trading. Investors also looked ahead to the February jobs report, which is scheduled for release on Friday. Economists polled by Reuters expect the U.S. economy to have added 186,000 jobs last month. In economic news, the Commerce Department said the U.S. trade deficit jumped in January to the highest level in nearly 5 years to almost $49 billion. On the earnings front, Brown-Forman and Dick's Sporting Goods are among the companies that reported before the bell. The sporting goods retailer earned an adjusted $1.32 for its latest quarter, which was 2 cents a share above estimates. Investors, however, did not like Dick's outlook for the coming year, and the stock was actually down over 8% in today's trading. Brown-Forman reported earnings that missed expectations but did beat on revenue, although the stock was punished with Brown-Forman down 3%. H&R Block and Urban Outfitters are due to report after the market close. And in Europe, the Pan-European Stock 600 Index closed 0.27% lower, and in Asia, the Shanghai Composite in China closed 0.27% higher, and the Nikkei in Japan closed down about 0.2%. In the commodities markets, oil was down 0.2%, and gold was down 1%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Intel and Boeing. The worst performers were Chevron and Verizon. And in the S&P 500, the best performers were Humana and Viacom. And the worst performers were Frontier Communications and Southwest Energy. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down $1.10 at $119.21, CSX down $1.35 at $48.44, AEP down $0.13 at $66.22, AK Steel down $0.39 at $7.78, Marathon Petroleum down $1.01 at $50.15, and Anthem was up $0.15 to finish at $165.99. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Recapping the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, showers likely tonight, mainly before 10 p.m., cloudy during the early evening, then gradual clearing with a low of 39. Chance of precipitation is 60%. Wednesday, it'll be sunny with a high near 60, breezy with wind gusts as high as 26 miles per hour, mostly clear with a low around 35. Thursday, sunny with a high near 66. Thursday night, showers likely, mainly after 3 a.m. Increasing clouds with a low around 40. The chance of precipitation is 70%. And then Friday, look for a 40% chance of showers, mainly before 9 a.m. Mostly sunny, though, with a high near 48. Checking temperatures around the region, it is 57 degrees in Ashland, Flemingsburg, and Lexington, 56 in Winchester, and 55 in Inez. And on the campus of Morehead State University, it is also 57 degrees. That'll do it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Meraz, Nathan Gutierrez, Braxton Howard, Courtney Howell, Xavier Atkins, Tilden Johnson, and Victoria Agee. From the Kentucky News Connection, Greg Stottlemyre, and from the Kentucky News Network, Will Clark. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, Dan Translator, W202 BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. ATC is next. It's 5 o'clock.